sports, politics, life. MyPillow presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Use promo code KKHI at MyPillow.com.
Early March Madness never gets noticed like the regular NCAA tournament, but it was a crazy weekend of conference tournaments leading up to the Selection Sunday and the bracket coming out for the men's NCAA tournament that begins in earnest on Thursday and culminates with the Final Four in Phoenix in April. This was so wild this year. There were five stolen bids, the most ever, and the selection committee had to scramble on Sunday to figure out exactly who was in, who's playing, who's out. It was complicated. We don't spend a lot of time talking about the bubble because I don't ever feel like the bubble teams are that big of a story. And you sort of know going in, like Kansas State wasn't going to make it. At one point they were on the bubble, but you knew they weren't going to make it. But then as what they called stolen bids came along, they just started racking up one after another. We had a couple of coaches. Dan Munson was fired before his conference tournament, and then went out and won the conference tournament, and he's in with his team out west. Kevin Keats was probably going to get fired at NC State. Then he won his conference tournament and beat rival North Carolina in the championship game, triggering a two-year extension into his contract, and they cannot fire him now. It's crazy some of the things that happened all over the place. Of course, here in Kansas City, we saw Iowa State just dismantle and destroy Houston on Saturday in the championship game. I don't think anybody would be surprised if you said before the tournament Iowa State could win it, or if they did win it, would you be shocked? You'd say no, but the way they did it and just dismantled everybody was really quite amazing, and this was really one of the only chalk tournaments. Most of the other tournaments around the country were real surprises, so there were what they call five stolen bids in this NCAA bracket. So we've seen mayhem long before the madness begins. We have absolutely seen mayhem. So let's go one at a time here. We know the Kansas Jayhawks are in as the four seed in the Midwest. They'll be playing in Salt Lake City on Thursday night. They get the late tip-off. It's probably the next-to-last game of the night on Thursday, 8:55 p.m. Kansas takes on Samford, which was 29-5, and their coach, Bucky McMillan, has a style of ball that they refer to at Samford as Bucky ball. This is what they call it, Bucky ball. They go up and down the floor. They're one of the top scoring teams in the country. They average 86 points a game. They average 10 three-pointers a game and shoot almost 40% from three. Now, that's against the competition they play against. I always remind everybody, you can get scared in this tournament looking at statistics, but you have to remember the competition they've been playing all year. And we would ask the question, would Samford even be in the tournament if they were in the Big 12? And the answer is probably no. They probably would not be in the NCAA tournament if they played in the Big 12. They have an Australian kid that's basically their leading player. I hope I say this right. It's A-C-H-O-R. It's first name and last name. Achor or H-O-R from Australia. 16 points, 6 rebounds a game. And Samford is your Southern Conference champions. Because the initial panic from Kansas fans was insane over drawing Samford because they shoot so many threes. They average 10 a game and they score a lot of points. But nobody ever wants to look at the fine print of, you know, why is a team needing to win its tournament in a smaller conference like this just to get in? And their answer is there's a couple of statistics here that are just a dreadful bellwether for Samford. And if you're even remotely scared that Kansas is going to lose this game, I would like to point out to you that Samford is number 357 in the country in turnovers. I mean, that's K-State bad. Right? I mean, they're terrible. And that's against non-Big 12 defenses. Okay? So this will be the worst team at handling the ball that Kansas has faced all year. We know how good the matchup was a couple of weeks ago when Kansas played K-State because of the turnovers. And I think K-State had 20-some in that game, and they probably undercounted them. Kansas can still defend. Kansas can take the ball away and get out and go. And I think they'll do that here against Samford. 357 in the country in turnovers. Samford's terrible at taking care of the ball, and they're 234th in rebounding. They're not good when they miss threes at getting rebounds. Hunter Dickinson is expected back. He's been practicing non-contact at this point. Bill Self said on Sunday that Kevin McCullough, they're hoping he's going to practice on Monday, and they expect him to be ready to go. So we think Kansas is going to be very close to full strength on Thursday when they play at 8:55 in Salt Lake City against Samford. And I'm not I'm just not. I know what we saw. I know what we saw without McCullough and Dickinson, but I don't think that's what we're going to see on Thursday. Even if these guys go out and just play 20 minutes in this game, and if Kansas gets to a lead, he can rest them. I think they're going to be in for a good weekend here in Salt Lake City. If Kansas wins, they are likely to play Gonzaga, who's playing McNeese State, or McNeese now, in the earlier game Thursday. That's the 6:25 tip in Kansas City, Kansas City time. Gonzaga 25-7 this year, and they're a nice basketball team, but I think they're basically the same headline as the Kansas Jayhawks. These are two big-name programs that are not their best this year. So that means one of two things. We're either going to judge their season on, well, that was really an off year, because if they play each other, one of them's going to lose. And we're going to say, well, that was really an off year for the loser. And the winner is going to move on to the Sweet 16. And we're going to say, well, there's Kansas being Kansas. They're back in the Sweet 16 after all this. And I think they have a tremendous chance of making the Sweet 16. The Gonzaga game, I think, is slightly better than a 50% chance for Kansas to win. I think the one thing I don't like about playing Gonzaga is their coach is just so good. Normally, Kansas has a tremendous coaching edge. There's a handful of guys around the country that when Bill Self plays them, he loses a little bit of his coaching edge. He's still the best coach in the game, but only slightly. Like, if he goes up against Izzo, he's slightly better. He goes up against Mark Few, he's slightly better. So I think that's the one rub of this thing is Gonzaga has obviously a really good head coach and an excellent coaching staff and some pedigree. And the tournament committee is going to get what they want. They really want Kansas or Gonzaga in the Sweet 16. I think we can see that. And so this matchup was kind of sitting there for them to put on national television in prime time. And I think when they play Saturday, it'll be a big national game. If it's KU and Gonzaga, when the TV times come out on that one, it'll be a big highlighted game. I thought there might be a chance that Kansas was in North Carolina's bracket again because they love to do that. And if Kansas was going to be on the four line, that would have been the third game of the tournament for Kansas in the Sweet 16. Could have been KU North Carolina. If the seeds hold, it would be Kansas against Purdue in their third game. If the seeds hold, that's where the thing would play out. So, there's no good or bad draws in these tournaments. I'm one of the very few people that consistently through the years has been like, there's been a couple of years where you've looked at it and said, wow, there's easily the best team in the tournament, got a really difficult bracket. But I don't really see that this year. I think we all recognize UConn as the overall number one seed. They're playing against Stetson. And they just drew Iowa State as their two. If you watched Iowa State play Houston, which at one point this year people thought Houston was the best team in the country, if you just saw that, you're not thinking UConn got some kiss on the cheek for being the number one seed. So I guess theoretically or technically, UConn is the number one seed in this tournament. They're saying Iowa State was the lowest number two. I'm not buying that for a second. There's a couple of twos out there that I wouldn't give you a nickel's chances of winning this thing, and that's Marquette. And who's the other one? Is Tennessee a two? Who's one of the other? Marquette is a two. Tennessee is a two. I wouldn't give you a nickel for either one of their chances of winning this tournament. Those two. I'd give Iowa State a way better chance of, and Arizona, as two seeds that could potentially win this thing ahead of Tennessee and Marquette. So no giant kiss on the cheek there for the UConn Huskies, the defending national champions. It's going to be a lot of fun. I love this tournament. On a personal note, I've had on my bucket list for, 40 years since I was in college. I would love to go to Vegas for the first and second rounds, the first 2 days, Thursday and Friday, of the NCAA tournament and just veg out, watch all the games of the sports book, have all the action going, all the fun, all the excitement. I was never able to do that working in television. I always had to work the tournament. I was never able to do it in radio. I always had to work the tournament. We're going to do a couple of interview podcasts this week that we'll post on Thursday and Friday. I'm going to be in Las Vegas with apparently a group of about 15 to 20 guys. I've got an old high school buddy who's put this trip together every year and gone. And then my buddy Cato called me a few weeks ago and said, we're going. I got all these Southwest points that I've racked up because he travels for business. He said, I'm buying your plane ticket. We're finally doing this. And I said, okay, I'll find a way to make it happen. So we're leaving so early on Thursday morning, we'll be at the sportsbook before the games start, which will be 9:30 Vegas time in the morning. That's how early we're getting up and leaving to go do this. And I'm pretty excited to do that. It should be a lot of fun. So we do a lot of studying of these matchups over the next few days. And we look forward to a terrific NCAA tournament. It rarely disappoints. And I think I've just always felt like the real fun of the tournament, when it happens, when it is pulled off, the real fun of the tournament is Thursday and Friday. Because that's when some crazy stuff can happen. And we'll look forward to seeing seeing how these matchups play out. It should be fun. You know what? Nebraska, it was really impressive this week, too. Nebraska's in. Creighton's in. We got all these teams in around here, around Kansas City. It's just KU. K-State's out. They're playing Iowa in the NIT on Tuesday night. That'll be on ESPN. Missouri, obviously, is done for the year. But Nebraska's in, which is a big deal. They've never won a tournament game, right? Nebraska's never won an NCAA tournament game. That is absolutely unbelievable. They're in. Creighton is in. There's all kinds of teams around here that are in. So it's going to be a fun tournament to watch, and we hope everybody enjoys their pools that they will get involved in or any way that you get excited to watch the NCAA tournament. We are big fans of this event here at KKHI. All right, the podcast today is brought to you by our good friends over at Cross Kitchens, online at crosskitchenskc.com. Tim Cross is Kansas City's remodeler. Whether you're looking for new countertops, want to refinish your cabinets, redo a little side bathroom or an entire bedroom, master bath, or man cave, Cross Kitchens can do all the jobs big and small. They love to work with your personal goals in mind, and they come right to your home and give you a free estimate. 816-898-7047. Online at crosskitchenskc.com. You want to go to Salt Lake City to see the Jayhawks? You're heading that way and not sure about your tickets? Ticketsforless.com. No fees ever. And you get a discount with the promo code KKHI. Looking for Royals opening day on March 28th? Ticketsforless.com. They've got all kinds of options there, including pregame parties, parking passes, suite tickets, general admission area type tickets, upper deck, cheap seats, whatever you're looking for. Ticketsforless.com. That's ticketsforless.com. 913-685-3322. Do not forget the promo code KKHI. You will save money every single time. And Window World is simply the best for less. The official windows of the Kansas City Chiefs. We had those big rains and hailstorm last week. If you had some window problems, give Window World a call. They'd love to get right out and see you no matter where you live. It doesn't have to be in Kansas City. They cover the entire state of Missouri, Kansas, up into Iowa and Nebraska. WindowsKansasCity.com, 816-799-0820. They also feature lifetime warranties on doors and siding at Window World, online at WindowsKansasCity.com. Cole Reagans pitched for the Royals on Sunday, had a rough second inning, gave up three runs, but just looked really good beyond that. He's just got electric stuff, and he has been named your opening day starter for the Kansas City Royals. Cole Reagans will get the start. We had sort of predicted that here. We thought that was going to be the case. And, I mean, it's almost, if this guy's what the Royals think he is, it's almost too good to be true. It was just kind of an afterthought, the trade last year, and then he made 12 starts and was terrific. He's looked great in the spring. He has all the stuff you could possibly want. He's a very rare commodity, a big, tall, strapping left-hander that throws 100 miles an hour. That's a very rare thing for a starting pitcher. Cole Reagans is a rarity. Now, he's had some injuries throughout his career, but this is kind of exciting, and the Royals obviously believe he's their guy. A lot of times they'll get young players or new players or guys that haven't played very much, and they're like, oh, we don't really want him to be the opening day starter. We better give this to Waka or Lugo. We brought these veterans over from these other clubs. We better give them the chort. No. They're just, here you go, Cole. We expect you to be the man. And this takes a lot of pressure off Brady Singer, because there was a lot of thought that the Royals were putting a lot of pressure on Brady Singer to be a Zach Greinke type and really be a workhorse and a stud. And now with three pitchers in the rotation ahead of Brady Singer, maybe he can just kind of kick back out of the limelight a little bit. Maybe he'll get better matchups, especially early in the year. He'll be pitching against number four starters instead of number one starters for the opponents, which is a big deal, and maybe can gain some confidence doing it that way. We shall see. Cole Reagans is your opening day starting pitcher for the Kansas City Royals. There are reports out of Indianapolis that the Colts are close to completing a trade with the Chiefs for Legarius Sneed, and this does not sound good. I'm the guy that says over and over and over, hey, the Chiefs are really good at this, and don't worry about it, don't sweat it. But the report says the Colts are offering a third-round pick this year and a selection next year that's not identified what that is. And that doesn't sound good enough for LeJarrette Sneed. He's a lockdown corner. That does not sound good enough. It's got to be at least a second-round pick this year, and the Colts would be it'd be a pretty good pick, be somewhere in the 30s, right? I can't believe the Chiefs would go for this. It doesn't sound right to me, but we'll see. They clearly don't want to spend the money on Sneed. They don't want to dedicate that much money to him and must like what they have at the position and feel like there is some talent in the draft and some guys they could bring along with a third, fourth pick, something like that. I don't doubt that. I don't doubt any of that, that they'd be okay. What I doubt is, can you find a player as good as LeJarrette Sneed, and do you really want to trade him for a third-round pick this year and a pick in 2025? That doesn't sound high enough to me. Just to clear cap space and make sure you're not paying this player too much. I was hoping for a lot more if the Chiefs executed a trade or perhaps bring Sneed back for one more year under the franchise tag and maybe do it all over again. But again, it's not confirmed, it's not done, but the reports out of Indy are that that's very close, and that's what the Colts are offering up, and the Chiefs are considering taking the bait and executing that trade this week, and the Chiefs would say goodbye to LeJarrette Sneed. So we shall see, as they say. In golf over the weekend, I don't know what you can say about Scottie Scheffler. I mean, he's not very interesting. He's not overly personable. He looks like your next door neighbor. Scottie Scheffler just won back to back. He won at Bay Hill last week. He won the Players this week, which is a big deal. Players that paid like $4 or $5 million. I mean, this is the biggie. He cashed in. He's won the Masters. This guy's won all these tournaments the last couple of years. Number one player in the world. Nobody's questioning that. He had a neck strain this week. Had a massage therapist on the course while he would wait at the tee box. Was getting his neck rubbed. And he went out on Sunday and he shot a tournament-tying record 64 to come from five back and win the thing outright. Wyndham Clark birdied the 17th, the Island Green, to pull within one. And then at 18, Wyndham Clark hit a putt that went right into the hole, went down into the hole, circled around, and popped out. It did a 360. And when it popped out and stayed on the lip, Scottie Scheffler was the winner. He was already in the clubhouse at 20 under par. How good is Scottie Scheffler? The last 2 weeks, these last two tournaments, eight rounds, the scoring average for these two tournaments on the PGA Tour, the scoring average, the last 2 weeks was minus two. So the average player the last 2 weeks combined would have been two under, and Scottie Scheffler was 35 under. He's 33 shots better than the average the last 2 weeks. He's changed his putter. It's a shorter putter. It's a mallet putter. It's only about a half an inch shorter. But his problem, I mean, he was just striking one great shot after another. But he was missing a whole bunch of putts, and he hasn't missed them the last couple of weeks. Scottie Scheffler putts the ball, the rest of the field is beat. He doesn't look like a normal golfer. His footwork is terrible. His feet come sliding out from under him when he swings. Nothing is as it appears, and all the guy does is outplay everyone in the world. It is remarkable to watch Scottie Scheffler golf. He is on some kind of heater right now, and he won the Players this weekend in ridiculous fashion, coming behind on Sunday injured. Basically with a neck strain, injured, coming from behind, and winning in regulation. Quite remarkable. The Kansas City Current opened their new stadium in Kansas City on Saturday. It looked great on TV. This game was on national TV. Kansas City beat Portland 5-4. Kansas City was up 5-1 in this match, hung on for dear life. It looked great on television. Stadium looked a lot better on television than it does driving by on the outside, I'll tell you that. It truly does. And it was relatively full. There were some empty seats, but soccer lends itself to that. It was toward the end of the first half. I was watching more closely, and I was guessing, well, it's an extra time here. Maybe some people went up to the snack bar, this and that. And you could kind of see through to the concourse that there were a lot of fans walking around checking out the stadium during the match, which was a little bit of a bummer to see on national television some empty seats. But they were there. It was sold out. That's remarkable to me. I can't judge the women's soccer team, how the stadium does, and how the ticket sales go for another year or two. Because anytime you build something new, people come. The real judge, this is 24, the real judge will be taking a look in July of 26 and seeing what's going on out there, seeing what it looks like. That will be the real answer to whether or not this is a huge success and other cities are going to want to copy this and do the same thing. This is the first women's specific soccer stadium in the United States. And the Kansas City Current won their match on Saturday 5-4. And we applaud them for that. They have five different players score. That's impressive. Five different players score is a pretty cool thing. All right, our news today is going to be brought to you by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet GMC. Chevrolet, together, let's drive with Roberts Robinson. Right now, brand new 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500. Save over $10,400. Was $40,040. Now it's $29,625. Whoa! Under 30 grand for Chevy Silverado 1500 at robertsrobinson.com. Home of the lifetime warranty. Just give them a shout and they'll hook you up with that free lifetime warranty. Buck Disposal is Kansas City's new disposal company. Online at buckdisposal.com. It's the same great folks, Ron Buck and his team from Buck Roofing. They're providing service to your job site. If you're cleaning your house out, if you've got a roofing project, if you're remodeling, if you're in moving or cleaning or landscaping, tree removal, if you're a municipality, if you're a city manager, Buck Disposal has all kinds of containers ready for you to drop off at your job site in the morning and pick them up at the end of the day if you want. It's all about customer service. They'll even deliver and pick up on Saturday and Sunday if necessary. Service. Ron was having so much trouble with his roofing jobs with the corporate disposal companies around Kansas City. He said, I'm going to start my own disposal company and just provide better service because there's all kinds of businesses and people out there that can use this. Online at buckdisposal.com. 913-242-7695. And my friends at the Bluemont Hotel in Manhattan and Goolsby's Restaurant Indoor Entertainment Center, this is the go-to place for anything in Manhattan. Whether you're headed back for a wedding this year, graduation, a baseball game, you want to play golf at Colbert Hills, sporting events, whatever it may be, the Bluemont Hotel would love to host your group and put on a great party for you. Or if you're just visiting somebody there or doing a reunion with the guys or something from college, BlueMontHotel.com is the website. BlueMontHotel.com. Or if you're ever in Manhattan, just swing inside there. Head on into Goolsby's for a nice cold one. You pour your own right off the wall. It's pretty cool at Goolsby's. And they've got indoor batting cages, golf simulators, duck pin bowling, all kinds of fun games inside there as well at Goolsby's in Manhattan. All right, we start with Kansas City news on this Monday and an epic fail that was the St. Patrick's Day parade in Kansas City. We knew this would be a total flop after what happened with the Chiefs parade, and this was a total flop. I mean, a complete flop. Eyewitness accounts say there were fewer than 1,000 people on the entire parade route. To put that in perspective, there were 400 police officers. So there may have been one police officer for each person. When they say less than 1,000, this could have been like 500 people. There were stretches of two blocks where there were like 8 people. It was, nobody wanted to go to this parade. Nobody. There was a time when Kansas City claimed to have the second or third largest St. Patrick's Day parade in America. That's fading. I don't know if it's an Irish thing in Kansas City, if there's fewer Irish families, or they moved, or I don't know. But we know a lot of this is in light of the Chiefs parade that people weren't showing up. Quentin Lucas has a problem on his hands. The Royals have a problem on their hands. They've got a vote on April 2nd, and there's plenty of people that think it's a really bad idea to put a stadium down there where all this violence occurs. There are. I don't know how the vote's going to go. I don't even have a guess. I would have thought slam dunk it's going to win. The Chiefs are on board. But I think this turnout for this parade matters. And the Royals really ought to be looking at this stuff. This is not a memory that's going to go away soon. There's going to be people 5 years from now that still say, I'm not going downtown. I'm not doing it. I am not going down there where that happened. There will be people. There just will. And this parade was a really bad sign for the Royals in their downtown ballpark. Mayor Q's got a problem on his hands. People don't want to come to his city. And if they don't want to come to a city, they're not going to want to live there. and they're building all these apartments and bringing all these people in, and they're like, we're going to do this and do this and do this. And I'm asking the question, what's going to happen to rent and real estate in Kansas City, Missouri? Because it's been sky high and people are complaining about it, but it seems to me that some folks are going to start moving out. They've done it in other cities. They've moved out of San Francisco. They've moved out of the dangerous parts of Chicago, New York. We've seen this in other, we've seen flight in other cities. The suburbs in Kansas City are going bonkers building apartments, welcoming anyone to leave the city and move to the suburbs. This is bad politically for the suburbs. It will change the voter demographics and the voter preferences in the suburbs and basically flip this entire city into a Democrat-run area. So I'm concerned about the political ramifications of this, but Mayor Q's got a problem on his hands. Nobody wants to come to his city. Can't say that I blame him. What would it have taken for you to go to the St. Paddy's Day parade? What would it have taken? A family member in the parade? There were clearly more people in the parade than on the parade route. What a shame. Now, it's only been a couple of months, so I understand it. And we said at the time, nobody's going to that parade. We knew that this was going to be a bad turnout. And again, like the current, we'll see what happens next year. It's the St. Paddy's Day parade next year. If there's thousands and thousands and thousands of people, okay, we're back on course. But we'll see. And we'll see how many people are just saying, no, I'm not doing that kind of thing anymore. I never thought of it as someplace I could go and get killed. So I'm not going to go. I'm not going to do that. I don't know long term, but it's not going to go away fast with some people. I can promise you that. Hey, Mayor Q, unblock me. He has me blocked on X. He has some of you blocked on X because he's a petty little man with very thin skin. The Supreme Court ruled last week. Not a lot of play on this one. Not big in the news. Unanimously, 9-0, that the First Amendment stands. Free speech is everything. And government officials cannot block their citizens. They cannot stop them from speaking in the forum. They can't block them from posting. They can't touch any of us on X or Facebook or anywhere. If you are Mayor Q and you're in office, this is not just your official account. It's also, the Supreme Court says, your personal account. So it's time for him to unblock everybody. Now, I'm going to guess that he takes forever to do this until he gets real pressure on him. And he'll probably say, it doesn't apply to Kansas City, Missouri governance. No, generally speaking, the way I understand the Supreme Court is when they rule things, it's for the whole country. It's pretty much a constitutional thing, Mayor Q. Now, I'm not the scholar you are. I didn't go to an Ivy League school and get a law degree. And I'm not the mayor. But I think even your liberal friends on the Supreme Court told you to unblock me. Let's go. Unblock. Seriously, it absolutely is wrong for any politician to block anyone. Think about that for a second. You're elected into office, and you're blocking the people that can vote for you because you don't like the way they vote or the things that they say politically. It's absolutely insane. But it is over. Many of you sent me emails this week on that. I really appreciate it. It was very, very cool to see the Supreme Court do that. They've got some more cases they're looking at this week. It's going to get real interesting here with the Supremes. We've got the Trump issue with the Supreme Court. There's a social media crackdown thing they're doing this week as well on the Supreme Court. So we'll see how those play out. This one was just a little more personal for me because Mayor Q has blocked me, and he may have blocked you. I would think he's got a lot bigger problems on his hand with a St. Paddy's Day parade that has fewer than 1,000 people going to it and his murder rate what it is than Kevin Keatsman following him on Twitter and posting a few things. He said in an interview a couple years ago, I don't know if you guys remember this or not, he was on radio or something somewhere. They said, oh, you can dismiss that. You can dismiss it as you know, radio boys off doing a podcast now, and he's not on 810 and this and that. He goes, but people are listening to that. It will have an impact. I remember him quoting and saying it. He's like, uh-oh, that's when he blocked me. He's like, nope, we're going to keep him shut down as best we can. We want as few people as possible to know what Kevin's doing over here now. Because he's not just talking about your teams. He's talking about all the things going on in Kansas City, Missouri. nothing more important than policing safety and security in Kansas City. Nothing more important than that. Can you imagine living in a world or living in existence where a word triggers you? That it just completely makes your head explode when you hear a certain word. A word, not an action, not somebody punching you, right? Not somebody screwing you over, stealing from you, leaving you in a relationship, not something really bad. No, just a word. Somebody says a word and you lose your freaking mind over it. This happens almost every week with the liberals. Last week, they absolutely lost their mind that Joe Biden referred to that arrested murderer in Athens, Georgia, that he referred to him as illegal because their stance is no person is illegal. Oh, yes, you are. Oh, yes, you are. Yes. You've broken the law to come into the country. It's illegal. What you're doing is you're an illegal person in this country. You are here illegally. You're an illegal for sure. They lost their mind over this and made Biden walk it back. Well, they've totally got a new one this week. They're on Donald Trump for using the term bloodbath, and they're trying to tie it to January 6th. Trump was being Trump at a rally, and he says, the Chinese, Chairman Xi, President Xi, you're a friend of mine, but you know what I stand for. These big, beautiful plants you're building in Mexico with Mexican workers and not having Americans build these cars. You know what I'm going to do. I'm going to slap a 100% tariff on you. They're not coming across our border without 100% tariff. You can forget about it. You know what you're dealing with here. And then he said, that's if I win the election. If not, it's going to be a bloodbath. The auto industry is going to be in real problems here. It's going to be real trouble. Bloodbath is a financial term. Nobody means it in a literal violent term. Let's be honest. We know what a financial bloodbath is for a company. Bud Light knows. How many stories did you read about the term bloodbath and Bud Light after that happened? I saw several that used it. Stock is taking a bloodbath. It's a financial term. So Trump uses this talking about the auto market, China building cars right across our border and sending them in because they're building them in Mexico. And Trump's saying, I'm putting 100% tariff on these. You won't be able to do that. You're going to have to, you know, hire American workers or do something that benefits us if you want to sell your cars here and build these things here. And he says, if I don't win, it's going to be a bloodbath for the auto industry. That's his message to the auto workers in Michigan. And Trump, watch him. He's going to double down on this now. And he should. He should keep using the term. Their strategy is they're in such trouble with Joe Biden. The only thing they have is to try to get Trump saying something bad, something wrong. The only chance they have now is Trump losing. That's it. That's all they've got left. Now, that's a long campaign. And there's a chance Trump could blow this and lose it. There is. If I were him this week, I'd immediately go to Michigan and I would use the term bloodbath 4 or 5 times in the speech and say this auto industry is going to be a financial bloodbath if Biden wins. He's just going to decimate this industry. They already want to stop you from producing the cars that you make because he wants to go EV, which nobody's buying. And Ford took a bloodbath on that. 50-some billion dollars Ford lost on EVs. That's a bloodbath. I would double, triple, quadruple down on this term. That term is absolutely fine in financial arenas. It is absolutely acceptable. And we know what he means. We know what he means about the industry when he uses that term. Look, they're switching. What the Democrats are doing here is switching. They're trying somehow. This is unbelievable. We have the peace president. Like Donald Trump is the most peaceful president of our lifetime. No new wars. Nobody can say that. Only Trump can say it. I think he should campaign on it. I'm the peace president. I'm the peace and security president. Border was secure. Crime was down. We were not at war. Over and over and over. They're trying so hard to make it look like he's the violent president. Like bloodbath, insurrection, civil war, violence. But America watched him serve as president. There were no new wars. We were safe and secure, and the border was closed. There really isn't much else to the campaign at this point. Just do that. You want to sprinkle in some economy, fine. Stay off everything else. You're going to be safe, secure. The border's going to be closed. We're getting out of these wars. We're getting out of the wars. And the economy's going to be better. That's it. Speech is over. Thanks for coming. Stay away from everything else. That'll win it. And they're trying desperately to tie him to scare Americans. They know Americans are scared for their safety right now because of illegals and because of the violence we have. But that's because of Democrat policies. So trying to deflect this and look at Trump using the word bloodbath. He's threatening civil war. If he doesn't win, we're going to have a civil war. I mean, I love Donald Trump. I think he's a great American. I think all these things. You know what he doesn't have in him? He doesn't have in him, with the time that he has left on this earth, if he loses this election, we're going to start a civil war. I'm going to lead a civil war. That ain't Donald Trump. He's not doing that. He's going to go play golf if he loses. Let's be honest. And you probably won't hear much from him after he loses. It's ridiculous. These people are preposterous. But Joe Scarborough jumped all over it on MSNBC. He put out a tweet. Oh, we got violence coming. Elon Musk personally corrected this on X. He corrected it and said, Mr. Trump was talking about the auto industry financials, not a physical conflict. And Joe Scarborough took his tweet down. He deleted it after Elon Musk personally corrected Joe Scarborough's tweet. It's just fantastic. It is just fantastic. KKHI is proud to be sponsored by Ideal Health KC. Online at idealhealthkc.com. Let your body's tissue and blood work for you. If you're in chronic pain, call Dr. Van Camp at 913-745-5300. If you have joint pain, COVID shot issues, Alzheimer's or Parkinson's onset, he's got a great deal of experience in this. Almost 15 years, 913-745-5300. Online at idealhealthkc.com. Advantage Termite and Pest Control is your new pest control company. Call Advantage at 913-768-8989. Speak with Aaron and his family about residential or commercial service from Advantage Termite and Pest Control, the only pest control company we've ever used. And North Kansas City Dental would love to be your new dentist. Dr. Bill Bush has offices in Kansas and Missouri. Either way, just call and make an appointment, 816-471-2911, online at nkcdental.com. That's nkcdental.com. And a reminder, I don't mention this enough. We've got all the sponsors and more in one place, the KK List. It's thekklist.com. 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 What you'll see there is not just the sponsors you hear on the podcast, but many more that are all conservative businesses. They're like-minded folks that would like the opportunity to earn your business. So if you're looking for goods or services of any kind, check out the KK List and say, I might be able to do business with these folks. If you'd like to list your business on the KK List, just go there and click on join the list. There's a link right on the deal. Join the list. It'll be send an email right to Jessica. And you can tell her you'd like to join the list. TheKKList.com. TheKKList.com. We have the most exclusive zip codes in America today as our final. The number one most expensive place to live in the United States of America is Atherton, California, which is part of San Mateo County in the Bay Area. This is a lot of tech executives and whatnot. It is number one. Miami Beach is number two. Southampton, Long Island is number three. So we know those areas very, very well. The rest of the list is littered with Long Island and California. They're there. And there are two outliers, and I find the two outliers to be the most interesting part of the most expensive zip codes in the United States. The outliers, I didn't write the numbers down. I think they're both like number five and number seven. The outliers, Woody Creek, Colorado, which is right by Aspen, and Golden Isles, Georgia, which is their beachfront on the coast. A lot of people don't think about Georgia and their beaches, and they are phenomenal. My daughter used to go there for spring break every year when she went to the University of Georgia, but they are spectacular. Just spectacular beaches. They're Golden Isles, Georgia, and Woody Creek, Colorado, making the top 10 list of the most expensive zip codes in the United States of America. Wouldn't it be nice to live in one of those places and say, I live in one of the richest places in America. Look at me, adi-da-di-da. I'm a tech executive. I dreamed something up and made all this money, and look at me. I got this boat. Yeah, baby. Golden Isles, Georgia. I mean, it just sounds fantastic, doesn't it? There's your final today at Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Kevin Keatsman Has Issues has been presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet GMC and is produced by Crooked Tail Media. Please hit the like or follow button wherever you listen or give us a review. For premium content, podcasts, and weekly newsletter, join as a patron at kkhasissues.com for as little as $5 a month. Support all our sponsors and other conservative businesses at thekklist.com.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.